أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله العظيم من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله أدى الأمانة وبلغ الرسالة ونصح للأمة وكشف الغمة وتركنا على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك فعليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين اللهم اجعلنا منهم ومن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين وأوصيكم نفسي بتقوى الله وقد أمرنا بالحق وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما ثم ما بعد We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bearing witness that none has the right to be worshipped or unconditionally obeyed except for Him, subhanahu. And we ask Him to send His peace and blessings upon His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, His family, His companions, and those that follow until the Day of Judgment. And we ask Allah to make us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. Dear brothers, mashallah, it's Ramadan Jum'ah, so I'm going to ask you guys to come forward from now so that we don't have to do this midway through the khutbah. So please move forward as much as you can right now and make space for the people that are coming in, inshallah. I want to begin today's khutbah with a story of one of the greatest companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man who followed the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the teeth, who followed it until the people called him crazy, who loved to imitate and emulate each and every single thing he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do, not out of a fanatic love, but out of hope that he would gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by following the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that man is Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And in this particular incident, there's a beautiful lesson for us to take for the rest of this khutbah and for the rest of Ramadan, and in fact even after Ramadan. Hisham ibn Yahya, he says that a beggar came to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and he said to him, أعطني دينار, give me a dinar. Now the currency in the time of Ibn Umar was dirham and dinar. And in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you had a dirham which wasn't worth too much and it was common for a person to give a few dirhams away to a beggar. And you had the dinar, which is several grams of gold, which is very expensive and very pricey, and a person's not likely to give that to a beggar. So this beggar had the audacity to ask Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu from the start, give me a dinar. Don't just give me a dirham. Don't just give me a little coin. Give me a dinar. So Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he gave that man a dinar. Now Salim, his son, looked at him and he was shocked at the generosity. So he said, تَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْكَ يَا أَبِي. May Allah accept from you, O my father. You know, it wasn't expected of you to give that much to that poor man. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he started to cry. And he said, لَوْ أَضْمَنُ أَنَّ رَبِّي قَبِلَ مِنِّي فِي دُنْيَاكُمْ صَدَقَ تَمَنَّيْتُ الْمَوْتِ. He said, if I did from me a single sajda, a single prostration. SubhanAllah, I was actually on my way here, or right before I came here, I was listening to a khutbah from Sheikh Kishk, rahimahullah ta'ala, in Egypt in the 1970s about something Muhammad Ali did and said. There's so much American history in Muhammad Ali. This is a man who lived and was a protege of Malcolm X, rahimahullah, whose stance on the Vietnam War was adopted by Martin Luther King Jr. So there's a lot of American history in Muhammad Ali, and so much more. There's you know, Muhammad Ali being the United Nations ambassador of peace, acting in the form of a diplomat, acting in the form of the world's most famous human being. SubhanAllah, I mean, the world's most famous human being. You can think about what that means, to be the world's most famous human being, and your name is Muhammad Ali. There is Muhammad Ali as a humanitarian. There is Muhammad Ali as the boxer, the greatest boxer of all time, or the greatest athlete of all time. There are so many things that he claims in his life, and there are so many things that he was able to put forward in his life. And the beauty of it is that his portfolio of good deeds is so diverse that if you were to do a simple Google search on 25 things or 50 things you didn't know about Muhammad Ali, you'll find all of these random acts of charity and random acts of good deeds that he's done. I wanted today to focus on an aspect of his life that we can particularly draw inspiration while not losing the spirit of Ramadan. We could talk about his brave political stances any day, about the way that he changed the game in this country, the way that he inspired a sense of confidence in young black children that could say they are beautiful, that they didn't have to shy away from their image because they were told that they were an inferior race in this country for so long. We could shed light on so many aspects of his life, but I want to focus today on that portfolio of good deeds, that portfolio of hasanat. Why? Because you don't know which good deed is going to be accepted from a person. And you don't know which good deed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept from you. And you can only hope that it would be one of them. You could only hope that Allah would look at one of your good deeds and say, this is good enough for you to be elevated rank upon rank upon rank in Jannah because of it. So when we look at the life of a person like Muhammad Ali, what is it that we can draw inspiration from in regards to our good deeds? What good deed would it be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept? Would it be kalimatu haqq inda sultan and ja'ir? Because that's a good deed too. A word of truth spoken in the face of an oppressor. He spoke in the face of that oppressor over and over and over again. He challenged that oppression throughout his entire life. Is that his good deed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept? We ask Allah to accept it from him. Allahumma ameen. Is it the smile that he was so famous for? تَبَسَّمُكَ فِي وَجْهِ أَخِيكَ صَدَقَةً. The free charity. A smile in the face of your brother is charity. You know, subhanAllah, yesterday as myself and Sheikh Yasir Birjas and others, as we were on our way to the janazah, the shuttle bus driver, you know, the guy that was taking us from the hotel to his janazah, who's just an old Caucasian man, started to get emotional, and he started to talk about when Muhammad Ali came to school as a child and how beautiful his smile was, and the way he'd start playing with children in the airport, and the way that he never turned down an autograph request, even if there was 1,000 people that were lined up for him. He signed each and every single autograph. Was it that beautiful character and that smile that he gave to each and every single person? We ask Allah to accept it from him. Allahumma ameen. That's a free charity. It doesn't take you to be the greatest athlete in the world to be able to smile at everyone around you. and to show that type of generosity and to show that type of character. But he was famous for that as well, the way that he treated people. Almost everyone in Louisville, Kentucky has a story with Muhammad Ali. And you'll never find someone who came into contact with him saying that he was a jerk, or he was a diva, or he was, you know, he acted like he was above this world. No. Despite the fact that he was in the ring shouting that he's the greatest, he was extremely humble and down to earth when he dealt with the people. And that's the most beautiful of characteristics to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is greatness. Because the Prophet ﷺ says, مَنْ تَوَاضُعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. Whoever lowers himself to Allah, Allah elevates him. So when you see the status of this man, and you see the way that he's being celebrated in the world today, don't think that that's anything but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevating his rank. That's not because of boxing. That's because when he spoke about Allah, or when he dealt with the creation of Allah, he dealt with humility. He lowered himself. And that's a lesson for all of us. Because if there is one quality that you can take out of Ramadan, that you can beautify yourself, your khuluq in the sight of Allah, it's that humility and that humbleness, that true humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it the charity and the sadaqah? We're in the month of charity. And this is one of the most charitable men in the history of the world. And if you look at the millions and millions of dollars that he spent in sadaqah, towards fighting Parkinson's, towards cancer research, towards feeding the poor around the world, he himself delivering meals in Indonesia, in Afghanistan, in many parts of the world with his own two hands. The various charities that he contributed to. Over 20 charities he's given millions of dollars to. And subhanAllah, in particular, through his charity foundations, he's provided over 232 million meals to the world's hungry. 232 million meals to the poor around the world. Is that the sadaqah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would look at and accept? Or the medical supplies that he delivered to Kenya himself? Is that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept? We ask Allah that He accepts each and every single penny, each and every single meal, each and every single dollar of sadaqah from our brother Muhammad Ali. Allahumma ameen. We could take that for ourselves. That he was still delivering food. That he was still going around the world, that there was a care, that there was a love, that there was a sense of empathy, that he recognized his place of privilege. And everyone in here is in a place of privilege. Each and every single person in here is in some form of privilege. And there are people around the world that don't have what you have. Is it the time that he stopped in 1981, a 21-year-old man from committing suicide, where he ran out of his car and saw a man about to jump off of a building and went up to that building and started to speak to that man? He could have ignored that man. He could have said that that person that's jumping off the building is a loser. The world probably doesn't need him anyway. Why would I have to care about a person like that? But subhanAllah, he took his time to leave his car, to run out, to go to the top of that building, to step out of that window, and to counsel that man out of committing suicide. And he succeeded. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whoever saves a life, it's as if he saved all of mankind. When you see your brother or your sister failing, when you see your brother or your sister on the brink, when you see your brother or your sister spiritually or emotionally or mentally declining, do you care about them? Do you care about them? And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from him that life that he saved for that man. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us that empathy as well. Is it the time that he's a diplomat in 1985 or in 1990, securing the release of hostages? Is it the time that he refused to have his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame to be put on the ground because he did not want people to walk over the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and instead became the only man whose name, whose star, is actually placed vertically at the Hollywood Walk of Fame? SubhanAllah, it's a thing of beauty when you, if you see that. All of these celebrities' names, everyone's name on the ground, and the one name that's on the wall, Muhammad Ali. Not because he thought his name himself, that he was too great to have his name on the ground, but because the one he was named after, truly the greatest of all time, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his name was the name that he took. Is it that? Is it the countless times that he spoke against bigotry and terrorism against the world? And subhanAllah, even until Donald Trump, who ironically celebrates the legacy of Muhammad Ali today. And all of these people that would have despised a 25-year-old Muhammad Ali today, that would have been speaking about Black Lives Matter, that would have been speaking about Islamophobia, that would have been speaking about the injustices around the world, that still would have been anti-war, that still would have been taking all the controversial stances he took before that made much of America hate him. People celebrate him today. But subhanAllah, even when Donald Trump makes the ban proposal to ban Muslims, you still have a statement from Muhammad Ali. He couldn't speak it, but he could write it. He could still issue a statement. When 9/11 happened, the video of Muhammad Ali and Will Smith reminding people what this deen is. He never stopped caring about teaching the people what this religion truly was. SubhanAllah, within his autobiography, it's beautiful. He said that he wished that he could have been the Muslim version of Billy Graham. Meaning he could have been a preacher. He wished that he could have spent his entire life doing da'wah. That was what he wished. When he retired from boxing, he wanted to speak and call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And be that da'i. He said, but Parkinson's, the disease stopped him. But subhanAllah, look at the amount of da'wah that he's done even with that disease. Even with that silence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still made him the most famous man in the world. A man named Muhammad Ali. The most famous Muslim in the world. Even though he could no longer give an eloquent speech, he could no longer call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his words. Still, subhanAllah, even his janazah is da'wah. Even his janazah is da'wah. It's absolutely unbelievable. People, thousands of people yesterday sitting at his janazah listening to the recitation of the Qur'an for the first time. It wasn't just the Don Kings and the Lennox Lewises. There was the average admirer that was non-Muslim wearing a shirt that said, I am Ali with Muhammad on the back. Listening to the Qur'an. So even in his death, subhanAllah, even in his janazah, there is da'wah. And there are many times, subhanAllah, you can find gatherings in which he's giving da'wah to people before he lost his ability to speak. In fact, there's one video of 15 people taking shahada with him. All of that da'wah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it from him. Everyone that learned about Islam and that learned to admire the religion, even though they never met him, we ask Allah to accept it from him. Allahumma ameen. And of course, above all, subhanAllah, the fact that his kindness and his character spanned across the entire world and covered not just Muslims, but non-Muslims. Some of you might be wondering right now, why all of this for Muhammad Ali? Why not for the ulama that have passed away? Well, I know people that I could probably bet prayed more than Muhammad Ali, read more Qur'an than Muhammad Ali, and were wonderful ulama and scholars, and that takes away nothing from their legacy. Some of you might be wondering, why not this hoopla on everyone else? Why aren't we talking about the other ulama or these great people, these great ubad and zuhad, ascetics and worshippers? Why Muhammad Ali? Why does he get all of this attention? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Inna khayra an-nas anfa'uhum lin-nas." Plain and simple. The best of people are those who benefit people the most. The best of people are those who benefit people the most. When he chose alayhi salatu wasalam to pray salatul ghaib, salat in absentia for janazah in absentia for al-Najashi in Abyssinia, it was because of the benefit that Najashi brought, not because of his ilm or his ibadah, his worship or his knowledge, the benefit that he brought. Those are the best people in the sight of Allah. Antum shuhada'ullahi fil ard. You are the witnesses of Allah on earth. Each and every single one of us bears witness to the amount of benefit that was brought through this person. And that's not a eulogy, that's not to exaggerate. You don't have to exaggerate a resume here. This is what it comes from. And when Allah describes a person of iman, the tree of faith, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions asluha thabit wa far'uha fis sama, that its foundations are firm and its branches are high in the sky. Many of the ulama mentioned that the believer's iman, the tree of faith, provides shade to everyone and everything around it. Everyone and everything around it. So the benefit that came from a person like Muhammad Ali was not limited to any Muslim community. It wasn't limited to ilm or ibadah or anything of that sort, but rather it spanned and it covered many people. Now, how does this benefit us in Ramadan? Other than to make dua for our brethren, he deserves that from us. We owe that to him to make dua for him and to ask Allah for his forgiveness. But what do I take from this? I'm not a famous boxer. I'm not a famous humanitarian. I'm not someone that's going to have the eloquence of Muhammad Ali or the status of Muhammad Ali. So how does this benefit me? Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَخْفَى إِثْنَتَيْنِ فِي إِثْنَتَيْنِ. Allah has concealed two within two. أَخْفَى أَوْلِيَاءَهُ فِي عِبَادِي. Allah has concealed His awliya, His close friends, His beloved ones, from amongst His servants. فَلَا تَدْرِي فِي مَنْ تَلْقَى أَيُّهُمْ وَلِيٌّ لِلَّهِ. So you don't know which person that you meet, is what that person's status is with Allah. You don't know who you meet, or whether or not that person is a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. You don't know, the person sitting next to you right now in Jum'ah might be someone that is celebrated in the heavens day and night by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have no clue. You have no idea, because Allah does not need the obituaries or the eulogies or the large janazas to love a person or to praise a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen His awliya, His close friends, from amongst the people, and they're hidden throughout this earth. You don't know which of them is truly a wali to Allah. وَأَخْفَى رِضْوَانَهُ فِي طَاعَتِهِ. And Allah has hidden and concealed His pleasure amongst His good deeds. فَلَا تَدْرِي أَيُّ طَاعَةٍ لَكَ أَطَعْتَ اللَّهَ بِهَا كَانَتْ سَبَبًا لِرِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ. So you don't know which of your good deeds that you did for the sake of Allah is a pleasure, is a means of attaining the pleasure of Allah. You don't know which ibadah that you did is the one that attained Allah's pleasure and Allah's mercy. It could be that the man that's being buried today in Muhammad Ali, that what Allah accepts from him is something that I did not mention at all. A moment between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at night that none of us saw, where the cameras were off, where he was not giving a speech, where he wasn't smiling at a person and being caught on camera doing so, where an act of kindness went undocumented by the people. It could be that that's the action that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates him by. And it could be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks to us with similar actions, and Allah gives us the same status in the heavens that He's given to our brother in the earth, and we ask Allah also in the heavens for him. Allahumma ameen. Why? You don't have to be a famous boxer or a great man to smile in the face of people. You don't have to be that amazing human being to give da'wah. You don't have to be that amazing human being to talk someone through a difficult moment of their lives. You don't have to be an amazing human being to go deliver meals to people. You don't have to be a celebrated person to apply much of what was mentioned from the life of our brother Muhammad Ali. And Ramadan is the time where you become conscious of those good deeds and you start paying closer attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and trying to do the things that earn that pleasure and that celebration from Allah and from the angels and the people of the heavens. That's what you're supposed to be doing in Ramadan. You're paying closer attention. You're looking for those good deeds and you're being enabled with the taqwa that allows for your good deeds to be accepted in the first place. Because handing a date to your brother, or smiling, or doing an act of charity, while you're in a state of taqwa, that's what brings about qabool from Allah. That's what brings about acceptance. You don't have to be super famous. You don't have to be celebrated. Your legacy can be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you can go completely unnoticed in this world. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in the hadith in a Tirmidhi by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud,